In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, I had a great chat with Michael Komnenos. Michael is the Managing Director of Astrolabe Group. First, he tells us about his background in mathematics and growth infrastructure planning, so how cities grow. He also talks about the smart city being about people and place, and also the importance of governance, reform, and leadership. Michael also tells us about some of the things he's been working on, including city deals, and how it's important for the government to shift their thinking from being a regulator to moving to a customer-centric approach. Now, we also talk about some emerging trends and about the fact that everyone is still learning. So as always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Yourself?
Yeah, I am very well. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you are passionate about?
Yeah, cool. So I've got probably the smart city space, a bit of a strange background. I've got a double maths degree and I worked in government for 15 years. So I'm not...
Nice.
Yeah. Not an engineer, not a planner. But what I did do in that time, I managed to get an understanding of the different systems that run a city and the connection between politics and government. And that's something that I've taken across to everything that I do now in this space. I did a lot of work in growth infrastructure planning. So a lot of work around how cities grow, both in terms of where they grow, how they grow, the infrastructure you need to enable that growth. And that's where I got introduced to this space. I did some time working in the Greater Sydney Commission and Infrastructure New South Wales, so I'm Sydney-based. And one of the things I did at Infrastructure New South Wales is I looked at using machine learning and big data in infrastructure planning. And at the time, it was one of the first efforts in doing that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome. So is that what kind of sparked your interest in the smart city space?
Yeah, it did. It did. So it was looking at how can we use new techniques to address some of the challenges that we've been expecting or anticipating or even emerging challenges. So that's how I look at it. I'm vendor agnostic, technology agnostic in terms of what solutions will best address a certain problem. Very much keen in creating a degree of empathy with the place and the people within that place.
Cool. So tell us what a smart city is to you.
So for me, it's about that use of technology and governance reform, and we'll probably get to that a bit later on, to be able to deliver the aspirations and objectives of a place and the people within that place. So in the same way that someone would say, you know, what is a city? I think every city is different. So in that regard, for me, every smart city is different. We look at the geography. We look at the demography and the economy of a particular place and the aspirations and the values of the people there. So it stands to reason that a smart city agenda for the Blue Mountains is different to that for Bondi Beach, right? They're different drivers. And that's the approach we take. So it's very much ingrained in empathy and having a people first approach.
Yeah, cool. So why do you think that this smart city concept is so important?
Well, I don't think BAU will get us where we need to get to. And if we don't look at using technology to help us deal with some of these challenges or take advantage of the opportunities, if we don't do it, then there'll just be significant impacts. It might be inequality, it might be environmental damage. You know, there needs to be a step change in how we organize ourselves and manage cities. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from the startup space in terms of how you prototype and test and validate some of your new ideas. And I think that it's critical that we do this in cities.
Yeah, cool. So how do you think Australia is embracing the smart city concept?
It's interesting. There's a lot of metrics from a commercial perspective that show that we are highly digitally literate. You know, most of us have a credit card. Most of us use PayWave, right? We have one of the highest rates of PayWave use in the world. But then there are other elements where we're very far behind. So I think if you break it up into like business to customer segments, you know, if you look at how many people have social media accounts, how many people are using new technologies driven by the private sector, we're top of the charts. When you look at introducing government into that, we're a bit of a laggard. And I think that's the opportunity there is that we can be a fast follower. We can copy what other people do. We can improve it and we can get ahead quite quickly. But it comes down, again, to governance and leadership, making sure that people are comfortable in taking some risks, because you can't change without taking risk.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk about some of the things that you're currently working on.
So the thing that I guess the marquee project that we've been working on over the last 18 months was the Western Sydney City deal. And that was a tremendous alignment with how we think about doing things in a project. So the idea behind a city deal, for those who don't know, is that you have the three levels of government working together in a place. So you've got a defined geography of where you'll come together and make decisions. You have an agreed set of priorities, and then you have a number of different initiatives that you work together to deliver. And I worked with the local councils. So there were 8 councils in Western Sydney that were part of this deal. And I advised them, I helped them negotiate to the extent now that they're partnering with the state and federal government to deliver change in Western Sydney, which is amazing. We do a lot of other stuff, but I might take a bit of time to talk about the city deal concept, because the federal government has...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm really interested. Combine this kind of smart city concept with the city deal concept. So, yeah, go for it.
So the smart cities plan was released in 2016. A lot of people in the sector looked at it and thought, what does this mean for me? And a lot of them are looking at it thinking, well, this is something I have to have regard to when I'm going in for a grant project or something. If it's the type of document you need to read about 2 or 3 times to really appreciate what it's saying. And it's saying that a combination of technology, reform and investment will drive the way our cities grow and change over the next 2 or 3 horizons. And the City Deal program is around getting the governance right so that you can do this. I mean, the Smart Cities and Suburbs program is about some seed funding through grants to get local government to build capacity and capability and learn from each other and work with industry. But the City Deal is very much around the governance piece. And there's a commitment there that every major city, every capital city in Australia will get one very soon. And there's another 20 odd, there's 21 cities altogether that are noted in the national government's national performance framework for cities. So when we talk about smart cities in Australia, the Commonwealth has a pretty clear agenda that they want cities to start to do things in a certain way. And I don't think we appreciate that well enough. Partly because it's hard to tell the story, right? You can't do it in a 3-second soundbite. So I think there's a lot of learnings in the Western Sydney City Deal. I think it'll roll out to other cities around the country. And I think you'll find that the approach will be relevant beyond city geography. So it might be something that happens at a smaller scale. You might get city deals type conversations in precincts or corridors. Even, you know, the Prime Minister was in Tennant Creek talking about the type of methodology you'd like to see to tackle some of those social issues there. So it's very much about governance.
Yeah, cool. So some of the other things you're working on, are you mainly focused in that kind of smart city space? I had a bit of a brief kind of stalk online, and it seems that people and place is really the center of what you do. So really keen to hear how your consultancy kind of came to be.
Yeah, it's a good story. So I got an ABN and I started doing work, got a logo, started to get more clients, and, you know, just straight out A-B testing. You know, what do people want? What can I do? What are they valuing? What value can I create by working with customers? What are the gaps in our capabilities that I've resourced? So now there's 5 of us in the consultancy. And what we learned very quickly was that people understand that they can't do things on their own. They understand in a place context that there are many participants. There might be institutions like universities or hospitals. They might be other government agencies. They might be the private sector or the community sector. And there needs to be catalyst, a spark to start that conversation to herd the cats, get people thinking about things in a certain way, get them ready to make investments. And that's pretty much a summary of everything that we've done. So, you know, sometimes it touches on governance, collaboration, partnership. Sometimes it's around visioning and communications and advocacy. Sometimes it's around strategy and looking at the research and positing different options, different scenarios. We're deliberately called the Astrolabe Group because we worked out that us ourselves need to tap other capabilities as well. So we work with a bunch of people, probably 20 people in different segments of the sector so that we can do this stuff and we can mobilize on a project basis. It's been really rewarding. We've got clients from local government, state government, Commonwealth government. We've got multinationals in the, you know, the banking sector, in software, in property development. It's the diversity is part of the strength because we get to see what other people are doing, what they're thinking, and we even create linking opportunities between them, which is fantastic.
Yeah. No, awesome. How long have you been doing this for?
18 months.
Yeah, cool. No, that's awesome. I'm so happy to hear it because, it's kind of exactly what I think the smart city space is all about. We can't do it all on our own and you need trusted allies and bring in that background, you know, diversity to actually create amazing solutions. So awesome.
Yeah, one of the things, I'll take the opportunity now to bring it up. One of the hardest things for governments to get their head around is moving from being a regulator to being customer focused. So yeah, transport agencies, utilities are, you know, they do have customer facing parts of their business because they interact with customers on a daily basis. But some of the regulatory agencies like planning agencies or environment agencies, they don't as often. Some of the central pillars of government like treasuries and finance and innovation agencies don't necessarily do it either. So there's a big cultural change that needs to happen. They're on a journey. They're doing well. It does take time. They do need to learn from each other. But that's the big thing. And when we get that right, we'll be up there with the world's best.
Yeah, cool. Well, that kind of leads on to this next question, which is how do you think we can better integrate across the different disciplines, government, academia, and industries?
Yeah, so we employed a demographer and we've got someone who does human-centered design. So it's all about people and place, as you said. And people in place is it's the tonic to the way that we organize ourselves. So we organize ourselves generally in silos. You know, there's someone who does education planning, runs the energy sector, you know, runs Sydney buses. You know, we service our city through a number of different systems. So if you look at people in places, you break down those systems into a construct where you have to work across. And that's what we do. There's a maturity curve. So the initial stage is a stage of awareness, just getting people to understand what's happening and what's happening outside of their space. Then you've got to move to a point of alignment. So you can say, okay, well, now that I'm aware of what's going on, let's move so we can start to do complementary things. Then coordination, so that you can look at how you prioritize things, how you can work together to get things done. So it's a bit more active alignment. And then that integration, the word you use, making sure that you're designing initially to integrate as opposed to doing it after the fact. And they're all part of city management constructs. And I think what's happened in Australia over the last 10 years, and I've seen it through my roles in the public service, we're doing a really good job at planning now. So, you know, every city's got a metropolitan plan, sectors have strategic plans. Infrastructure agencies have ways of going through and choosing which projects they pursue. So planning's better than it ever has been, possibly, you know, some of the best planning paradigms in the world, but we're often cited as best practice for this stuff. It's the management side that we've got to change. So city management, when people talk about smart cities, I want people to start talking about city management. How can we be more dynamic with the way that we manage our cities? How can we be more people-centered? How can we look at some of the sustainability questions around resource use? These are the things that when we start to craft these questions a certain way, you'll end up getting the solutions requiring that integration of effort. We don't use the university sector well because we haven't understood that there, you know, when you're pursuing change, there's a risk of failure, right? And if there's a risk of failure, you shouldn't be using a consultant. You should be using an academic. That's the difference. I mean, that's the difference between deep research and having someone do a quick desktop review to give you advice. And we haven't worked that out. It's not completely ingrained in our psyche. It happens on the fringe. I think that there's a the harness. And I've been doing a bit of work with a group of academics and industry players around a cooperative research centre bid that's part of the national government's research agenda. It's called the Future Cities Project. So I don't know if you've seen that, Future Cities DRC. Yeah, so I help them with that, and it's fantastic. But, you know, there's a process. If that gets up, that'll be one of the answers. And it'll make a very big difference in getting everyone to work together.
Cool. I know that you spoke about, we previously just spoke about Japan, but also that you work across those multinationals. Now, we all know that it's important to, you know, learn from our global partners, but I'm interested to hear specifically why or what you do learn and what kind of you take away from that and then what we can share with our global partners, like specifically.
Yeah. So the thing that stands out, so I work with global partners to develop products, right? And the idea that they have is that cities can be markets and you can sell to 1,000 cities. So let's develop products that can be validated in a couple and then you can sell them across the world. That's the idea. So I help them with that. And it's true. I mean, cities have similar challenges. You know, some of them might have population growth or change. Some of them might have flooding, fire hazards, congestion. These are not unique problems. What does play its role, though, is the governance and the funding models of cities. So the constructs that we've created around how we make decisions and how we resource the ability to resolve a problem vary across the world. So we need to find a way where you can have a menu of options so that it can fit that local paradigm. Because if you're too rigid, it just won't work. So one of the things that stands out in an Australian context, and it's more a, you know, Western democracy issue, is, you know, some of the constructs we have to create public trust and demonstrate value for money, particularly around procurement, make it very hard for you to try things that might not work, make it very hard for you to engage with a broader group of solution providers without being clear on what it is you want. So, you know, a lot of the barriers to smart city development in Australia will probably go down to the structural safeguards embedded in our procurement system that primarily are there to avoid corrupt behaviour and improper behaviour. So that's the, if you said to me, if you had a magic wand, what would you do? You know, that's what I'd look to fix and try and do it in a way where industry can participate in some of the solution or even the problem definition, you know, so that you can have a rapid risk-based approach to how you can pursue solutions. It takes a long time and you don't have time. I mean, the convergence of technology, you know, the things that we look at, you know, the Internet of Things, obviously, GIS and GPS, we're launching satellite. I don't know if you saw the budget papers, but the national government investing in some technology that will allow you to have GPS accuracy to 2 centimetres. But artificial intelligence, you think about that from a place-based perspective, you can start to have machine-to-machine interactions within 2 centimetre accuracy in a place, and things can just be happening without you needing to be involved for your benefit. I mean, that's a tremendous opportunity. So I think the technology is running ahead of our ability to use it. So we need reform to some of these government constructs. And I know people are looking at it. It's not as if I'm saying it and people going, oh, well, I haven't thought of that. People are looking at it. It's just it's quite a challenging space.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk about emerging trends. And what do you think people aren't talking about enough? I mean, I think we've just spoken about one of them, but, yeah, any other ones that you're thinking of?
Yeah, I think for a very long time, people have spoken about baby boomers and their transition through society, you know, different trends in terms of their consumption patterns and their needs for services, right? People need to talk about the millennials. So if we were having this conversation in America, they'd be talking about the millennials. they have the same baby boomer characteristics in their population, but the millennials they're a far more significant cohort. These are the new breed of workers, entrepreneurs. It's the talent that will shape what we do as a city. We don't talk about them enough. We talk about, there's loose terms around attracting and retaining talent in some of the conversations, but let's be very clear, we're talking about a group of people who have different preferences, different behaviours, different abilities to interact, you know, questions around, do you buy a house? Do you rent? You know, what's your psychology? How attached are you to a place? How do we harness this tremendous pool of talent that we have to make Australia better? So I'd like that to happen. There are many reasons why that doesn't happen, but we need to find a way to give them the voice so they can have a greater influence in what we do. I don't see enough of a conversation around basic things that can make people's lives better. You know, I stumbled across a Treasury paper written in the 1990s that defined prosperity as having more choice and less complexity. And I thought that was really simple. You know, reduce complexity in people's lives and give them more choice. And if they have meaningful access to those choices, they will choose things that will make their life better. And I think technology and smart city approaches can do both of those things, but we just don't talk about them. So I'd like to see that. And I think those two things, complexity and choice, end up creating a political response. And the emerging trend that people talk about, but they don't understand why it's happening, is, you know, these unforeseen political results, be it Brexit or, you know, the American presidential election, or to an extent the success of Palmer a couple of cycles ago. We talk about that, but we don't talk about why. And I'd like people to talk about the why, because we mentioned A-B testing earlier. An election is the ultimate A-B test, and it happens in a semi-regular basis. You get from people what their preferences are. We don't go enough into, we don't go deep enough into why people are expressing those views and how we can use those views to help shape our city.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's been awesome to chat with you, Michael, and I really only have one last question, which is, how can people connect with you?
Yeah, cool. So, LinkedIn, so find me Michael Komnenos, Comninos. There's not many people with that name, so you should be able to find me. We're at the Astrolabe Group. We're also on Twitter. We've just started a handle, Astrolabe_AU. So find us. It's all part of the conversation. Everyone's learning. This is all new for everybody. And I think the more people who are engaged in this space, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I will put all the links and everything in the show notes so people can click away and find you.
Awesome. Thanks for the opportunity to be on.
No worries. No, I love having people from all different facets coming onto the podcast. So, yeah, thanks so much for sharing your story.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook @smartcitypod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.